anybody here who's an expert in Calvin and Hobbes? Do you know Calvin and Hobbes? Not an expert? What? What's the name of Calvin and Hobbes? You never heard of it? Surprise is not even the word.
I don't know Calvin and Hobbes in Hebrew.
Something missing in his name.
Tshuva is to say, I'm not that person. The Gedolim used to say,
Chayalim used to say, Nisht Besser Verin, nor Andrish Verin. Not to become better, but to become different. The point of El is not to become better, but to become different. There's a misconception in this Rambam. People think, if you just read this Rambam without the proper chinuch, people think that what this means is that I should change my identity. Doing tshuva means I should change my identity. Eineni oisai ha'ish. I'm not that person. I'm somebody else. The old me used to do those mice, and that was the old me. The new me, the real, the new and improved. The new and improved, the new version, new rapping, sunshine, he's a different person. In any somebody else. That's a big mistake. It seems to be the logical thing that comes out of the Rambam. It's a very, 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 very big mistake. The right way to learn the Rambam is as follows. Every single yid wants to serve Hashem. Every single yid wants to serve Hashem. Every single yid has a part of him that's mishtaikeh, that desires, that thirsts to be close to Hashem. And to do everything that Hashem wants. And to live the right way, and to act the right way, exactly like Hashem wants. Take it. another step closer, to learn a little more, to do another mitzvah, to be a little bit less engulfed in the garbage of the world. Okay. That's nice. It's a nice speech. So how does a person do that? How does a person do that? Maybe I don't feel like I'd rather be learning more. Maybe I don't feel like I want to be more involved in Ruchnius. Maybe when I open the Sefer, it doesn't speak to me. What's the approach? At least a starting approach. We don't so constrain my time. At least a starting approach. So what do I do? Now I'm standing at the Elul, and I want to be a Neni Oisesh. I want to discover who I really am and that I really want to be close to Hashem. What do I do? What's my approach right now? What do I do? I think the beginning of the answer, maybe later on in the week or in the month we'll talk a little bit more details, but the beginning of the answer is what David HaMelech says. David HaMelech sings to us, Va'ani kirvas Elokim li'tov. Va'ani kirvas Elokim li'tov. That for me, closeness to Hashem is good. It's gishmak. It's gishmak for me to be close to Hashem. I think that Ellen, this is so different. This is so different than the Calvin and Hobbes mentality. I think Ellen is a time for us to think about the parts of Avodas Hashem and the things about Yiddishkeit that we feel drawn towards, that we feel gishmak, that we feel that's me. When I do that, I feel like it's me. When I daven davening and it's a, you know, it's a half b'yichidus and it's not thought about, but I don't say the words properly, I feel a certain way. When I daven the Kabbalah Shabbos in yeshiva and I sing with the yeshiva and then I daven ma'ariv and I'm saying good Shabbos to everyone afterwards, then I feel another different way. Which way do I feel more alive? Where do I feel more alive? Where do I feel myself more? In any part of Yiddishkeit that it is, or in any type of Lima Tzaira, or in any area that a person can find, that part of Yiddishkeit, or that part of closeness to Hashem, Va'ani kirvas Elokim li'tov, I find that gishmak. That's the beginning of discovering who we are. If we could find something, that's the Ratzon Hashem. This is the Ratzon Hashem. And I feel alive. I feel myself when I'm doing it. It's me. It's me. It feels geschmack. It sits well with me. That's a great first step to being in any Ice Age. I'm not that person that's floating around in the world. I'm me. I'm the person who likes to sing Zmiris or Davens with Kavana, who likes to learn a certain limud, who likes to get up at a certain time to do something special, or whatever it is, or a certain type of a chesed, that's me. I feel my blood racing through me. I feel alive. That's the beginning. Just a thought. Just a thought to start with. And Avodas Hashem is supposed to be Gishmak. We've talked about this many times, and I'm telling you now, we're going to talk about it many, many more times. Avodas Hashem is supposed to be Gishmak. It's a tremendous misconception that causes so many of us aggravation, that we have this feeling that Avodas Hashem is, sometimes, you know, you have to hold yourself back and live a certain way, and it's not supposed to be so Gishmak. And that's not true. Avodas Hashem is supposed to be Gishmak. When we serve Hashem properly, we're supposed to feel Molly Simcha. The mark of a Talmud Chacham is someone who lives a simplistic life. That's the mark of a Talmud Chacham. Someone who's truly reached the proper priorities in life, he's happy. So when we find aspects of Avodas Hashem that click well with us, that's a first step. The parts of Avodas Hashem that are difficult is what to think about. How can I make it more gishmak? What can I do to make it match better with my personality? But I'm talking about a step before that. There are parts of Avodas Hashem that all of us could find a gishmak in. Something in Avodas Hashem. Some type of a sefer, some type of a limud, some type of a tefillah, some type of a chesed, some type of a mitzvah that I feel alive. Nobody knows that I do such and such a chesed. And I go ahead and do it and I feel alive. I feel gishmak. That's me. Those are the type of Kabbalahs that we make in Elul. Not Kabbalahs and not decisions and not aliyahs that it's so hard and I just feel so depressed when I'm doing it. That's not a healthy beginning to an Elul's man. Two years ago, I heard a story from Rabbi Tzio. I think I said it over last Elul and I want to say it over this Elul. I was by the Chanukah Sabayis of the South Poolsburg Yeshiva. They built a new beautiful building. And I went to the Chanukah Sabayis and Rav Matos Yo spoke. And I was very, very, very overwhelmed, even from the idea of his speech. Because most speakers, as you know, there's a mixture of different things that people do when they're speaking. Someone who's on the Hanhala of a yeshiva and he's speaking, and there are rich people there, so like a large part of his, at least some people, a large part of the speech would be, let's say, trying to make the rich person feel like giving money towards their institution. That would be a big agenda. Some people, a big agenda would be to give a great speech that people should like their speaking abilities. People should be impressed with them. Some people want to reflect on the moisid that they work for, so that the people should respect that moisid. People have different agendas when they get up and speak. Matisyo is a Weltmashgiach. And it was an amazing thing. He got to speak by Yeshiva South Poolsburg's Chanukah Sabayis, and he was concerned that the Olam should steig from the Chanukah Sabayis. I was very, very touched from that. He was concerned we should learn a lesson. We're all sitting together by a Chanukah Sabayis. We should learn something from it. We should talk again something from it. Like, it's a very nice simcha. It's an unbelievable thing. And he spoke about the simcha, but we're sitting here. We have what to learn from this, experience of being by a Chanukah Sabayis, the beautiful building. He got up and he said the following story. He said that when the Mir Yeshiva was in Shanghai, so it came Yom Kippur time, and it was sweltering, sweltering heat. Impossible heat. Today is a winter day compared to what they had those days in Shanghai. It was terrible, terrible heat. So much so that the Hanhala of the Yeshiva made a takana that the Olam should stop wearing hats and jackets in the streets. Imagine? Made a takana to stop wearing hats and jackets. In Shanghai, they wore these like white shirts or something, and that's what they wore. And even to davening on Yom Kippur, they didn't wear their jackets and hats. It was takanas nefashas. Spending a whole day fasting in a boiling hot room without air conditioning was pashas takanas nefashas, and they said that they shouldn't wear hats and jackets. Mashgiach in the mirror is. Unbelievable person, Birochim. And he lived in a different reality than the heat on Yom Kippur. Like, he wasn't thinking about the heat. And he sat on Yom Kippur with his heavy wool talis over his heavy kapata. You know, he kept his kapata on and his heavy talis on, and he stood the entire Yom Kippur. He started Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharis. When he finished Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharis, they were up to Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf. When he finished Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf, they were up to Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha. When he finished Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha, they were up to Shemoneh Esrei of Ne'ilah. And they finished davening on Yom Kippur. They finished the whole davening, and the Mashiach was still in the front of the yeshiva, still in the front of the Beis HaKnesset that they were davening in, and he was still davening Shemoneh Esrei. And he was davening and davening, and they were finished. They were already finished. They were already making Abdullah. And the Bachrim wanted to make a surprise to the Mashgiach. They felt such a chavivas for him. They wanted to make a surprise to him. And they said to each other, imagine how proud and how happy the Mashgiach would be if we would rush down to eat something and rush back up and open our Gemaras. And then by the time the Mashgiach finishes Shemoneh Esrei, we should be in the middle of Seder as if it's the middle of first Seder, first day of El Zman. Imagine how proud he would be. So they decided to do that, and they went wherever they went to eat something, and they came back in, and he's still davening, and they opened their Gemaras, and they started learning with tremendous Islavos. And just been Yom Kippur, and you understand, we get inspired on Yom Kippur. You're talking about a yeshiva of Masmidim in a strange country, not a single person knowing if a single one of their relatives was still alive, not knowing when this war was going to end and where they were going to go when it ends. Imagine that, Usashuvu, Usafilu, Tzedakah, Ma'avir, and Esrei Agzeira. Imagine how they screamed it that day. Imagine the inspiration of that Yom Kippur. Imagine the tears that flowed in that Pesach Knesset of that Yom Kippur. Davening for their fathers and their mothers and their sisters and brothers. And they didn't know if their families were alive or dead. After such a Yom Kippur, they went to eat something and then they came right back and they opened the Gemaras, and with the full high of Yom Kippur, they started learning. Rabbi Yerucham finished davening and he turned around. Sure enough, the entire yeshiva sitting and learning. Such a nachat, such a... And Rabbi Yerucham on the spot, walked over to the bima and gave a shmooze. On the spot. Just from his reaction to this maimed, he gave a shmooze. And in his shmooze, he told the story. And this is the story that he said. He said like this. He said there was once a man who was very, very wealthy. And he wanted to build a magnificent home for himself. And he hired contractors and architects and designers to build the most magnificent home anybody ever saw. And he wanted to make himself a big party with inviting all his friends, the Chanukah Sabayis of this tremendous, magnificent building. And he hired tents and set up bleachers and everything outside of his house. And the ceremony was that he was going to climb up on a tall ladder. And when he gets up to the top of the house, he was going to hang the family emblem or the final decoration or something, he was going to hang on the top of the house. And then the house would be complete, and he did it himself in front of all of his friends, and the festivities would begin. He climbed all the way up the ladder, and everything's ready, the food is ready, everyone's there, the band is ready to start playing. And he's about to put the decoration on top, and a wind blew and knocked the ladder down, and he fell down to the ground. And he fell down, and his friends ran over to help him up. And he's scratching, "Oh, my aching back." And as his friends are picking him up, he says, "Oh, my whole building fell down. The whole building's ruined." And his friend said, "Our dear friend, your building didn't fall. You did. Your building's still there. And as soon as you get better, you'll climb back up and you'll finish your building. It's still there." So Rabbi Yeruchim said to his bacher, he said, "Rabbi Yisrael, you're holding down the greatest high. And maybe you're concerned that the Ben Azmanim is going to come. It's going to be, you're not going to be on this high in a few months. And you're going to feel like, oy vey, my whole building fell. I built a whole Elzman, a Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I built a whole beautiful building. My whole building fell." So Rabbi Yeruchim said, "Your building's not falling. Sometimes people fall. But the buildings that we build every Zman, every day, every tefillah, that never falls. Every Aliyah, every Hishtadlus, that never falls." And this is something that's such a mistake. How many times I myself talked to Bachar, they're like, "I was doing great, and now I'm back to square one." We're never back to square one. Every effort along the way, every up, even though it was followed by a down, every being kavish the Yetzirah, even though maybe there were times the Yetzirah got the better of me, is still there. I fell, but my building is still there. And now a new Elul came around, and we're ready to get ready for a new Rosh Hashanah. We're building on last Elul, and we're building on the Elul before. Okay, maybe the summer didn't go the way I planned. Maybe this month didn't go the way I planned. We have a build. We're not starting from square one. We're starting from already a few stories up on a building. Maybe a couple of times we fell off the building. Now we're climbing back up to the top of the building, and we're building weiter. That's what Rabbi Yeruchim told his bachrim, and that's what Rabbi Matisya wanted to tell the oilim there as they were standing there in a new, beautiful building. And he said, "Look at this building. This is what it's like. This is an Elulzman," he said. "A gorgeous, beautiful, magnificent building. This is an Elulzman. Don't be afraid of having a geshmak zman. People are afraid. What's going to happen? I know what's going to happen 2 days after Yom Kippur. I know what's going to happen next year. I know how life is. I'm going to try again. Build the building. Even if you fall, but the building will always be there."